We're here on Daf Ayin Gimel Omer Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down. The Mishnah had stated on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Omer Aleph that in order to prevent a person from committing certain averos, we will kill the person. He has a din of a rodev. But with regard to other averos, we will not kill him in order to prevent him from implementing the avera. Tana Rabbanan, the Brice, is going to try to list and enumerate those sins which make him into a rodef. Echad a rodef achar chaver lahargo. The first case is where Reuven is threatening to kill Shimon. Second case is achar azochar, he's threatening to sodomize Shimon, to rape Shimon in a homosexual act. Case number three, which are any, all these three cases we saw in the Mishnah, Hanara, Hama Uras. So we're talking about an Ashes Ish. And Dafka, she's a Nara before the conservation of the marriage of Nisuin. The Achar, now here's where we have a new category, Chayve Misos Bezdin. The Achar Chayve Krisos. Now we're talking about other sexual crimes which would incur a Chiv Kares or a Chiv Misa. Is in all the above cases, Matzilin Osan Benafshan, we will kill the Rodef for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdof. And the Chiddush here, of course, is these cases of Arayos that are not mentioned in the Mishnah. So we have basically two major categories. We have capital crimes and we have situations in which the nirdaf is about to suffer a very, shall I say, humiliating rape situation. And in these two categories, we can put the rotzeach, we can put the rodef to death. So we have, for example, rodef achar chaver lahargo, we have achar zochar, those two cases fit under capital crimes, and then we have other cases where we're saving the nirdof from a humiliating rape situation, and that would be achar chayve misas bezdin, achar narim rasa, and achar chayve krisus. Now, in the case of chayve krisus, this is not listed in the Mishnah. And for that matter, other arayos which are chayv misa not listed in the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't point out here that there's a stira l'chora, contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rashi therefore comes to the conclusion that there is no contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And basically even the Mishnah would adopt the same position as the Braisa. We could kill the rodef for any sexual crime that's subject to Misas Bezdin or Kares. Why does that Mishnah not mention that? It only mentions the cases of Zohar and Nara Murasa, because those cases are clear from the Psukim in the Torah, as we're going to see in the Sugya. So the Mishnah only mentions something which is absolutely clear. Now, Almana L'Kohen Gadol, this already is an Iser Lav. And in such a case, again, it's hard to imagine that the Almana is being pursued by the Kohen Gadol himself. But we cannot kill the Kohen Gadol in such a case. Or Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hedjot. It means that a Kohen Hedjot is pursuing a woman who he's not allowed to marry by lav in the Torah in order to have a relationship with her. Ein matzilin osan benafsho. We do not prevent this maisa bia from happening by forfeiting the life of the rodef. Again, you could argue that these cases are not as humiliating as the other cases. For example, let's say the Almana would have this relationship with the Kohen Gadol, or, for example, a chalutza or a grusha would have this relationship with a kohen hedjot. In the worst case scenario, we only have a chiyuv malchus. Again, if, let's say, she wasn't forced, then, and she agreed to such a bia, she is subject to malchus, and her status is that of a chalola. A chalola means that her children are excluded from kahuna. That's certainly somewhat humiliating and disgraceful, but it would not passel her children for kol. They would not become what's called psule kol. There's no mamzeris over here. So therefore, the offense here that the pursuer is threatening is not as severe as some of the other cases that we had before of Chive Krisus and on of Zohar, etc. And although there is some element of disgrace, but it's not such a serious offense that it would warrant it would warrant forfeiting the life of the attacker and allowing us to kill him if he would force his victim to such a demeaning act, because it's not as extremely demeaning as one that's punishable by kares or mises bezdin. And for this, we would have to analyze a Rashi carefully on daf ayin gimel amid beis divra maschil apgama rabba. So bli neder, when we get to that on amid beis, we'll try to analyze that a little bit further, more in depth. Now, what happens? The Bryce wants to address this question. What happens in a case of a woman who's already been violated, and now the pursuer is threatening a second attack? Nevda ba avera, there already was an act committed against her, and therefore perhaps she's already suffered this disgrace, she's already gotten this pagam, and she's already in a state of humiliation, and now he is threatening a second attack, or somebody else is threatening a second attack. Ein matzilin osa b'nafsho. Again, because in this case, she's already, let's say in the case of a male who's being attacked, who's being raped, has already been forced to submit to such an offense, and has already been humiliated to such an extent. And therefore, once he's in the state of pogum, of nifgum, of disgrace, as we called it, then a subsequent rape does not generate that pagam like the first one does. And therefore, the pursuer cannot be killed in order to prevent him from the second attack. The victim has already forfeited her kavod and is already paguma. She's already been disgraced, or he's already been disgraced on the first round. Yeshla Moshia. Now, we darshan the pasuk in the parsha of Nara Hama'urasa, in the parsha of Ones, as Ein La Moshia. She had no way to be rescued. The only possible way of Hatzola, in the case of this near Defes, is by killing the rodef, and that's what the pasuk means. And it says, "Ein la Moshia ein la, but ha yesh la Moshia." If there is no rescuer, then the victim can be saved, even if it means the loss of the life of the rotzeach. But that's a case of Ein La Moshia. But what about a case of Yesh La Moshia? And that is Ein Matzilin Osa B'Nafsho. This is another further restriction on the law of killing the rodef. We do not forfeit the life of the rodef to save her, in a case of Yeshla Moshiach. Because again, when the Torah speaks about killing the Rodef, it's a case of Einla Moshiach. Now, what is this all about? This will become clear in the next line because of the rule or the opinion, I should say, of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Ha'omeres Hanichuli Shaloyar Gena, even in a case where she says, she makes a declaration to the Matzilim, the potential rescuers, and she says, Hanichulo, let him go. Shaloh Yargena, don't kill him. In such a case, says Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot kill the Rodef. Now, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's view? Here's a case of a woman that she's afraid that the rescuers might try to intervene, and the pursuer, the Rodef, in his state of, I don't know what you want to call it, fear or confusion, he might kill her. So on the one hand, the attempt to rescue her, that solo operation, is very good for her. But on the other hand, it could be very bad for her. And therefore, she is so overwhelmed by fear that she asks the rescuers to stand off. And basically, she's allowing this person, therefore, to violate her. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that once she agrees and she's accepted upon herself this violation, she'll be disgraced. Again, she only did it because she's under duress and she's afraid of losing her life. But nevertheless, we're not allowed to kill the Rotzeach in order to save her disgrace, prevent her disgrace, because she has already tacitly agreed to be disgraced by saying, hold off, stand off, and don't get involved in the Hatzolah. And this is going to be a major machlokas between the Chachom and Rabbi Yehuda, which Bli Neder will get to very shortly. Now we go back to the Brisa's first opening Reisha, that we can kill a Rodef. Minani, really, what is the basis for the halach of Rodef, that we can kill the Rodef to save the Nirdaf? Where is the Makar, the source in the Torah? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'lanara lo sasa dovar, ein lanara chet moves. Now, this is going to be in the parasha of Nara Hamurasa, the rape of a Nara Hamurasa, the source for the ruling that if the Rodef is threatening to commit a certain crime against the Nirdaf, we can kill the Rodef. And this Brisa that we're about to learn darshens every word in this pasuk. The assumption here is that there are many words in this pasuk that are unnecessary, that are mutar. And for example, the pasuk says, "V'lanara lo sase dovar," and that seems to be totally superfluous because, in fact, the nara has not committed any sin, and it says explicitly, "Ein lanara chet," she's been raped. Why would I even entertain, why would the thought cross my mind that we should punish the Nara? So this part of the pasuk is certainly superfluous, and the Gemara now wants to darshan every word, and it refers to a category of sin which would justify the halach of Rodef, of killing the Rodef to save the Nirdaf. And now we go one by one. As we said before, it says Vilanara lo sasa dovar. Now notice that the word Vilanara is written without a hey, which means it's written as Na'ar. We read it as Na'ara, but it's written in the Torah as Na'ar. Na'ar is masculine. Says the Brisa, Ze Zohar. This is talking about a case of a man who is being pursued by another man to sodomize him in a homosexual relationship. And that's enough to justify killing the Rodef. Na'ara, again with a hey at the end, now it's written in feminine, Zu Nara Hame'orasa. And again, what we're doing is we're saving the Nara Hamurasa from this violation, even at the expense of forfeiting the life of the Rodef. So again, we have Na'ar and we have Na'ara in the very same word, because it's written as Na'ar without the hay, which is a reference to a young man, and then it's written as Na'ara with a hay. And we're going to therefore read this word as referring to two different types of sins. Number one, sodomizing another man, that's Na'ar. Number two, violating a betrothed Na'ara, which is the case of Na'ara Hamurasa. Then we have Chet. What is the word Chet coming to add here? Because again, in the pasuk it says, Ein la Na'ara Chet. Why do we need that? I mean, obviously, she has no Chet. And the answer is that this Chet is coming for a ribui for Elu Chayove Krisus. Again, as we said before, a man is pursuing a woman for a sexual rape in a Chayev Krisus case. Moves Elu Chayev Mises Bezdin. Now, one would question why it's necessary to add that word Moves to include a Chayev Mises Bezdin. You've already established that we can kill the Rodef in a Chayev Kare, so much more so in the case of a Chayev Misa. In other words, a sin, a sexual relation, illicit sexual relation that generates a chiyuv, a capital punishment. In any event, let's remember that we have now four types of sins that are being discussed, addressed by this brisa. We have the nar, we have the nara, we have the chet, and we have the moves. And then we have in the pasuk ein moshiola. And the Gemara is going to say that Ein Moshiola means to teach us that if the Rodef is forcing someone in one of those four sins, then we're allowed to rescue the victim, the Nirdof, at any cost. We're obligated to do so. And that's the Chiyuv of killing the Rodef, to save and prevent, if you will, stave off any of these four sins. The Gemara now analyzes, is it necessary to have all these four? Kolhani lamali, why do I need four drushas for four categories? And the Gemara says, tzricha. In other words, in the Havamina, l'chora, we could have compared one category to the other and derived by analogy. But the Gemara says, no, tzrichi. The Brisa needs all four derivations. Because of Rahman and Nar, if we would only dash the word Nar in the case of a male, that's Mishum Delav Urche. There's something extremely humiliating here and demeaning to the victim by a sexual act that's not natural at all. It's a cohabitation of sorts, but it is absolutely demeaning to the victim, and the pursuer should be killed in order to prevent such an attack against the Nirdof. Aval Na'ara, even though Na'ara is certainly demeaning a rape situation, but at least it's urcha, it's a natural form of a sexual intercourse. Emelo, I might think that in such a case I don't kill the Rodef to protect the Nirdof and stave off this attack. That's number one. So again, even though there's no question that a Na'ara Muras is debased when she's violated, but it's not as humiliating as a man who is sodomized. The Torah, if it only taught the case of killing the pursuer to save the man from the Na'ara from sodomy, I wouldn't have known that we would kill the Rodef to save the Na'ara Murasa. But on the other hand, if we flip it around, Ikos Rahman and Na'ara, if the Torah had added the hay, then we would have said in the case of Na'ara Mishum de Kapogim La, which means that he blemishes her, it's very demeaning, and she becomes less desirable to her husband who doesn't have that physical relationship with her. They haven't consummated the marriage. And she, of course, has lost her virginity. Aval Nar de lo kapogim le, in the case of a Nar, therefore, there is no blemish, nothing changes, l'chora. I mean, again, he's humiliated, but that doesn't mean anyone else has any, you know, demeaning way of losing favor in his eyes or anything. Emolo, I would think, then maybe you don't have to, well, you're not even allowed to kill the rodef. So we now have two chidushim, the case of Nar, the case of Nar, the case of Zohar, and the case of Nar Muras. Because of Rachmona Hani, if the Torah had only given us these two cases, and now we're going to turn to Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, is Mishum Dahailav Urche Hu Vaha Kapagimla. In the case of a male, that is very disgraceful because it's not even a natural act of cohabitation. And in the case of a Nar Murasa, it blemishes her and demeans her in the eyes of her arus, of the man who's going to be her husband. Abu Bashar Arayos, in regard to other Arayos, which means an intimate relationship that's forbidden by either Kares or Misas Bezdin, is the Urche Velo Nafish Pigmaihu, although there is some element of Pagam, but it's not Nafish Pigmaihu. And we'll see exactly how Rashi interprets this. And it's urche, it's a natural form, a normal form of cohabitation with a limited kind of blemish. Therefore, aim a low, I would say that we don't kill the rodef in order to prevent this from happening. Again, the rodef should be judged, condemned, and punished, but that again requires hasra and so forth and so on. It's kosav achmona chet. The Torah added the word chet to add to the category of rodef the arayos of chayve kores and chayve mises bezdin. Now, in terms of why the Nara Maras is considered nafish pigmaihu, Rashi says on the top here, karusa shechaviva v'yala schein ala orus. There's a certain love the arusa is beloved to the arus. He cherishes her and so forth. A certain special fondness. The achshav mizganala, but now that she's been raped, Nebuch, he has a certain feeling. She's already been violated. He doesn't have that excitement. But in the case of Shaharayas Pnuyos Besulos, if a woman, for example, was never married before, now she was raped, the level of the pekam is not kuli high. It's not as significant as heavy. And v'chein nesuos, if she's already had a relationship with her, you know, with her husband, they're fully married, they have already had nesuin, the second marriage, they've already established a physical relationship, they're the pekam. She's not less, or to some extent, not relative to the case of Nara Murasa, she's not less desirable to him. So in the case of Arayis in general, the debasing is not so severe that it would justify killing, in the Havamina, killing the Rodev, Kamashmal and Chet, that it does. I'm a little bit confused about what's called Nichnas Olechup of Alon Nivola. You could have a case of an Asua that there was never a consummation of the marriage. There was Chuppah, and then let's say she was raped by another man. There was no Be'ila. They didn't clinch a physical relationship yet. The case would be a similar category, would be Masar Ha'av L'Shluchei HaBaal, or Shluchei Av L'Shluchei HaBaal, L'Shluchei HaOrus. There are many cases in which the Nesu'in is technically Chal, but yet there was no consummation yet of the marriage, and the physical relationship has not been clinched. I don't know what would be the status of a Rodef in that case. You know, if we're worried about what Rashi says, Chaviva Yival Aschein, V'yachshav Nizgan Olav, now we want to know why we need the word maves for a case of arayas of achiv misa. The ikos of rachmona chait. If I only had the word chait, hava mina filu chayve lavim. I would have thought that the word chait, if it's not, if you don't add the adjective of maves and limit it, then chait would include even chayve lavim. Kosav Rachmana Moves. Now, the impression you get here is that in the case of, for example, a zona, a grusha or a chalutza to a kohen hedjot, or for that matter, an almana l'kohen gadol, in those cases, those are chayvei lav, and they would certainly be excluded from the law of killing the rodev. I don't know why we would have to introduce, as we saw earlier on Amud Aleph, the relative, you know, lack of severity of the nature of the disgrace and the pagam. Leave that out. It's just there's a requirement here of maves. Maves means that it's punishable by death or by kares, but not a violation of a lav, which is only punishable by malchus. Again, you could say that malchus is a gili milsa, that it's not such a terrible pagam, and that's why we don't kill the rodef. I don't know, but strictly according to the letter of the law, it's chayvei lavim, it's not chayvei krisus, and therefore it would not generate the halacha of killing the rodef. Now, the Gemara wants to know why we need the word chet. In other words, once we have the word maves, which would include l'chora, which already excludes chayvei lavim, why do we need the word chet? Ikos rachmona maves, and it had left out the word chet, then hava mina chayvei mises bezdin in chayvei krisos lo. We would have taken maves literally with the greatest, you know, with the least chiddush, I mean, mitzamtzem the chiddush, and say, when are you allowed to kill the rodef? That's only for chayvei misa, but not for chayvei krisos, kosher achmana chet. So now we have chet and misa, maves. Maves tells me that don't go too far. It's got to be similar to maves. Chet means it could be a little less severe than misa. It's not a capital crime, and yet it's enough to generate the chiyuv to kill the rodev. But again, it doesn't go all the way up to chayvei lav, and that's too lenient relative to chayvei krisus to engender a din of matzilin also benafsha. The Gemara now again analyzes this derivation, this drasha of lichtov rachmana chet maves. If we would have had chet maves, which tells me that it's got to be a sexual crime that engenders at least a chiyuv kares, and how much more so a chiyuv misa, because we have chet maves, is lo boy nara nar venara. Then in the case of sodomy or in the case of anara murasa, then since in both these cases we have a death penalty, it's a capital crime, then certainly there would be a din of rodef, and we would kill the rodef. And the Gemara now actually backtracks here and reinterprets the drasha of nar and nara based on this last kasha that chet maves would have been sufficient. And Achinami says the Gemara ve'ela nar v'nara. Why do we need the nar and the nara? Chad lemeute oved avodas kochavim, v'chad lemeute behema v'shabbos. We need one to exclude the case. This according to the Chachamim. We'll see that there are others who, other dissenting opinions. But according to the Tanakhama, if a man is about to engage in idol worship, we do not kill him. And if a person is about to engage in Chilul Shabbos, to desecrate the Shabbos, or to have a relationship with a behema, a sodomy relation with a beast, we would have thought that we could kill him. Kamash v'lan, we have these two mi'utim of nar and nara. Now, you might ask the question, how do we exclude three different cases from two psukim? And the answer seems to be that the word Shabbos here is kind of unnecessary, meaning once you've excluded with one pasuk, Oved Kochav, and the Mimela, you exclude Shabbos, because the whole basis for Hamabin of applying the Din of Rodef in the case of Chil Shabbos is because of the equation to Avodas Kochavim, to save Hashem from such a chilul, from such a violation, the desecration of Avodas Kochavim, or Shabbos, which is equated to Avodas Kochavim. And we need another pasuk to establish that in the case of Behema, this is excluded. And the reason for that is because in the case of Behema, there's no element of Atzolas HaNirdof. It's just a matter of sin. And preventing a person from sin without the element of Atzolas HaNirdof is not enough to engender a din of rodef. And that's why I would argue that in the case of other arayos, other than nara murasa, of chayve lavim and chiyuve misa, it's not the chumras havera that engenders the chiyuv misa on the rodef to kill the rodef, although obviously the chumras havera is a precondition, but that's not the real machayev. The real machayev is hatzolas hanirdaf, which is the reason why we don't need a hasra, according to Rav Huna, as we discussed in the previous shiur. Now, Rashi explains the havamina of rodef achar behema. Rashi says that in that case, the sin of sodomy with a behema is such a serious sexual crime that we might think that the pursuer should be killed. And even though the element of hatzolas hanirdaf is lacking, but we do have the element of a kind of maisa bia and an erva relationship in that sense, a sexual crime, and it's of the most severe nature, we might think that even in the absence of the element of hatzolas hanirdaf, we would still kill the rodef. The havamin in the case of avodah zarah is a little bit more palatable, a little bit more understandable, because we know that avodah zarah, there is, so to speak, in quotation marks, kaviyochal and nirduf, meaning God is the nirduf here. And if we have to kill someone to avoid and prevent him from debasing and humiliating a human being when he's pursuing an erva to violate an erva, how much more so should we surely kill someone to protect God's honor who's about to worship an idol? And if we throw in Shabbos into the equation, because Chil Shabbos is elevated to the level of Avodah Zarah, as we'll learn later on, and therefore Rashi points out that once the word nar excludes its memayit over Avodah Zarah, then memela it's also memayit Chil Shabbos, which was only a havamin because it was equated to Avodah Zarah. So if I don't need the pasuk nara to exclude Shabbos, I can use that to exclude behema. And again, the havamin of behema is, of course, the very severe nature of this abomination. However, all this is fine according to the Tanakhama and reflects the shita of the Chachamim. However, Ula Rav Shimon ben Yochai, we have another shita that the dissenting opinion of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Omar, Oved Avodas Kachom, Nitan Latzilo Benafsh, the person about to engage in idol worship, his life should be cut down in order to avoid the chil shem shemayim that's involved in avodah zarah. Is lovely. Once again, why do we need the word nar, which we used to exclude avodah zarah? Is the Gemara answers chad lemeute behema v'chad lemeute Shabbos. Now we understand very well why we need a special miut for Shabbos, because we would have equated Shabbos with avodah zarah, as the Gemara is going to explain now. And since in the case of Avodah Zarah, Rav Shimon ben Yochai indeed is willing to forfeit the life of the rodef, the potential violator of idol worship, we would have extended that by virtue of the equation of Shabbos to Avodah Zarah to Shabbos. Salke daitech amina teisei Shabbos mi chilul. Chilul. Me Avodah Zarah, the word chilul is used for Gzeir Shava to equate chilul Shabbos with the chilul of idol worship, because with regard to Shabbos, the Torah says in Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph Mechalel Mos Yumos, he desecrates the Shabbos. With regard to Molech, which is assuming it's a form of Avodah Zarah, the Torah says in Vayikra Yudches Velo Sechalel Eshem Elo Kecha, which means a desecration of the name of God, and therefore through this Gzeir Shava we equate Chil Shabbos with Avodah Zarah. And therefore we would have derived the conclusion that according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, just like we killed the rodef who's about to implement an act of idol worship, so too we will kill a rodef who's about to violate the Shabbos, and therefore we need the extra word as a miut to exclude the case of Shabbos. And it's interesting now that although Shabbos to some extent is equated with Avodah Zarah, it's not an absolute equation, which is fascinating in and of itself, because both Shabbos and Avodah Zarah appear in the Aseres Hadibros, And we have this Gzeres Shavah of Chilul, Mechalel, and Techalel. So we don't understand exactly, you know, once the Torah Shebaal Peh has given us this Gzeres Shavah, and it equates Shabbos with Avodah Zarah, how do we have a right to take another word in the Torah and assuming that it comes L'me'utei Chol Shabbos? Tell me that the Nara word is coming to teach us the exact opposite of the Gzeres Shavah. And the answer has to be that we'll use the Gzeres Shavah for certain halachas. The Gzeres Shavah does not mean, you know, the Gzeres Shavah is part of the Kabbalah and the Mesorah, but it doesn't tell us specifically what is included in the Gzeres Shavah. And therefore, once we have the Pasuk Nara, we are absolutely within our legal bounds to exclude Shabbos and to define and circumscribe the Gzeres Shavah between Shabbos and Avodah Zarah to exclude the case of Rodef. And that's what we have over here. Now, the Gemara wants to introduce a third Tana, third opinion, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. He holds the Omer Mechalas HaShabbos Nita Latzila Benafshel. Let's take the Gzeres Shavah to its full extent, and we're going to kill a person who is about to violate the Shabbos, and we're going to forfeit his life and kill him in order to prevent Chil Shabbos, because that's the same desecration of the name of Hashem like Avodah Zarah. We know that, for example, Mechal Shabbos is a mumar l'chol Torah kula, just like a machal, an idol worshiper. The asya Shabbos michil chil mavodas kochavim. He's going to apply the Gzeres Shavah and extend it to include even the din of rodef and the chiyuv of killing the rodef. My ikalamer. So what are we going to do with the extra word nara? We can use one of those two words to exclude rodef achar behema, but we still don't have anything to use the second pasuk for. And the Gemara answers, "Chad l'me'ute behema ve'idoch aydi the kosav rachmona nar kosav nami nara." There's a technical reason why the Torah added the word nara here. I mean, there is really only one extra pasuk that teaches us a miut. In this case, the miut of sodomy with a behema, but once the Torah wrote the word nar, and that's coming to exclude behema, so it writes nara as well, and but basically there's an extra nar here in this pasuk, as we discussed earlier that the pasuk is extra. And that refers to sodomy. And it's coming to teach us that we will not kill someone to prevent sodomy. But once the pasuk is discussing, in the broader context of the pasuk, is discussing a nara maras, the Torah adds the vowels of nara as if it had said nara. But that's not coming to exclude anything. That's just the way we have to read the pasuk in its context. So basically, there's no extra miut here in the pasuk. The Torah could have spelled nara with a hey, and we wouldn't have had a miut. The Torah wrote nara without the hey in order to be mamayit behema, but the extra hey is there just in terms of the pronunciation of the word, just to parallel and reflect the broader context. Now, in the end of the Braisa, back on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, if you recall, Rabbi Yehuda said that we suspend the law of killing the rodef in a case where the nirdefes says hanachlo, leave him alone. So let's go over that again. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afo meres hanichulo shelo yargena, don't start up with him, with this, don't try to intervene and save my life by attacking the rodef, because maybe he'll kill her, meaning she thinks he'll kill her before this whole thing happens. So the rescue venture is at the cost of her life instead of the pursuer's life. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Apparently the Chachamim disagree. B'maikom mifli. Why do the Chachamim disagree? Omar Rava b'makpedes al pigma u'minichaso shelo yargena. In truth, she is absolutely, objecting to this blemish. It's not like she's saying, I don't care about the blemish, I'm willing to let myself be blemished. No, that's not what she's saying. She's only leaving him go and telling the Matzilim to let him, stave off because she wants to save her life. It means that her life is more important to her than the blemish. So Rabbanan Savri, Pigma Kabid Rachmana, Varei Makpedes Al Pigma, since the Torah wants to kill the Rodef in order to prevent the victim, not Solsa Nida from Pgam, she is not willing to give up on her Pgam. She very much wants to avoid the Pgam, therefore we have to kill the pursuer, despite her objections. And Rabbi Yehuda holds high the Kama Rachmana Katle, the Torah says kill the Rodef, Mishum de Masra Nafsha Liktola. In effect, the Matzilim are carrying out her will. In a sense, we are her emissaries, but here she doesn't want them to be the emissaries. She's not willing to give up her life and allow herself to be killed in order to avoid, she'll be giving up her life in order to avoid submitting herself to this terrible pagam and this terrible violation. Is high lo masra nafsha liktola. We really have to analyze this machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, what generates the halacha of harigas harotzeach and atzolas hanirdof is the debasement, and she's very objecting to the debasement. She doesn't want this. She's just afraid of being killed, and she's not agreeing to be debased. If she would agree to be debased, that's something else. But nobody's saying that she's agreed to be debased, and therefore the Chachamim say we have to kill the Rodef. The question is, what is the Yesod HaYesodos here in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? If you have a great snua, she's a woman who's willing to sacrifice her life rather than be violated in this forbidden relationship, a relationship that would carry a death penalty. So the Torah says, kill the woman because she would, I'm sorry, kill the Rodef because she considers this violation to be worse than death itself. So kill the pursuer to save the woman from what she perceives as something that's death by being violated, worse than death. That's true in a normal case, but in this case, the woman is not prepared to give up her life. She's afraid that she'll lose her life, and therefore she would, in a choice situation between being violated and dying without being violated, she'd rather be violated so that she can survive it. She's not Masra Nafsha Liktola, and therefore the Mechayev of killing the Rodef is completely null and void. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, we are her emissaries to prevent what she would consider as severe as Misa, meaning the violation. So we have to do whatever we can because she wants us to do whatever we can. That's the normal case of Rodef, not our case. She wants us to do whatever we can at all costs in order to avoid violation. So that even if there's some sort of element of risk over here in terms of her life, that's what she wants. And we have to oblige her and kill the Rodef, and that has to be our focus at all costs, because she, for her life itself, is protecting her disgrace and her pagam and avoiding her being violated is more important than life itself. So therefore, forget about the fact that there is some element of danger involved here. We gotta do everything that we can in order to stave off this Rodef, even if it means killing her, in order to prevent her from this violation, which is worse than death itself. But in our case, where she is making a statement that she wants life, and being violated is less important to her than life. She's not willing to give up her life to be violated. At that point, we have to again oblige her and say we have to do what's ever first on her system or her understanding of priorities. Her priority first is her life. And although she would love to have the pursuer killed in order to prevent violation, but it's not worth it for her to risk her life, and therefore we are no longer fulfilling her will by trying to kill the rodif. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Nami Kapogim Lo? Shouldn't it be a machayev of Hatzolas HaNirdof, HaNirdefes, in the case of an Almana who's running after a widow, an Almana, he's being pogim her because she becomes a Chalola, and that means she can no longer marry a Kohen, and her children will be Chalolim if she marries a Kohen. So according to the Chachamim, if the machayev of killing the Rodef is Hatzolas Pegimas HaNirdefes, then why not kill the Rodef to prevent this kind of Pegima of Almana L'Kohen Gadol? And according to the Chachamim, it has nothing to do with whether she's willing to sacrifice her life for the sake of avoiding this Pegam. So her Papa asks, let's kill a Kohen who is pursuing an Almana. Now, there's a long discussion here in the Mefarshim about whether or not Rav Papa's Kasha is directed at Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that we kill the Rodef in order to prevent a Tznua, who's very modest, from sacrificing her life. And therefore, perhaps, even in the case of an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, maybe she would be willing to sacrifice her life in order to avoid this kind of pagam. And therefore we should kill the pursuer in this case as well. It could be, though, on the other hand, Rav Papa assumes that even the most modest of women would not be willing to sacrifice their lives to avoid a chayve lavim, even if there is an element of pagam, because the relationship with the Kohen Gadol does not carry the death penalty. In any event, Omer Leah Bai says to Rav Papa, Apigma Rabba Kapokid Rachmana, but Apigma Zuta Lo Kapokid Rachmana. The Torah wants to kill the attacker in order to prevent a great blemish, a great pagam, which means that the children of such a relationship of a Chayve Krisis will be Mamzerim, the Psule Kol, but in the case of a Kohen Gadol and an Almana, that's only Chalolus, and since there's no Chiyuv Kares here, although she is debased, and it makes her into a Chalol and a Zona, but nevertheless, the children are not Mamzerim, they're not Psule Kol. So that in the case of Chayve Krisus, where the children will be Mamzerim, then the attack is so objectionable that the Torah allows you to kill the Rodef. But in the case of an Almana with a Kohen Gadol, although she's a Chalola, that's not considered the same blemish as the case of a Chi of Krisus, and it doesn't engender a psule kol, and therefore there's no allowance for killing the rodef. So just to elaborate a little bit on this shakel vitaria of Rav Papa and Abaye, perhaps one could say, if we assume that the kash of Rav Papa is on the Chachamim and not Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, everything boils down to her considering the violation being worse than death itself, and that's what the law of Rodef hinges upon. And in the case of an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, presumably she would not be willing to give up her life rather than suffer this violation, so that's okay. Whereas according to the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Machayev is the Pagam, that's also Nirda from the Pagam, and even if she says to the potential matzilim, the rescuers, hanachlo, leave it go, that's not because that's not because she's not makpin on pagam. She's makpin on pagam. And that's the machayev here. If that's the machayev, then Rav Papa thinks that even in the case of an almona l'kohen gadol, since there's a pagam and there's a psul chalolus disqualifying her from marrying a kohen, therefore we should kill the rodev to prevent this pagam. Even though she would not sacrifice herself and she doesn't consider death to be a better option than this violation and this debasement. And that's what Abaye answered Rav Papa, that it's true that the Torah is makbid on pagam, but only the pagam of the level of chayve misis and chayve krisus, where we're dealing with psulei kol and mamzerus, but not the level of pagam of almona l'kohen gadol, which is only chalos. Let's go back to the drasha, the brisa chet elu chayve krisus. Ureminu, the Gemara asks a kasha from a Mishnah in the third parak of Ksubis. And the Mishnah says, Elu naros sheyesh lem knas. And one of the cases listed where the boel is chayv a knas is haba al achoso. Now, we're talking about a knas of chamishim shekel that has to be paid by the ma'anis. And we're talking about a Baal Achosa, which is a Chiyuv Kares. Now, if we're assuming that any sexual violation that's Machayev Kares, like the case of Achoso, generates a Halach of Rodev to kill the Rodev, then why does he have to pay for the Chamishim Shekel of fine, of Knas? After all, why not apply the principle of Kimle Midrabimine? Which means that if at the moment, we saw this back in the sugya of Baba Machteres, if at the moment of the Chiv Momin, he's also Chayiv Misa, Ein Lo Domim, in this case, we're talking about a Rodev, then he's not Chayiv for the lesser punishment, which means the Knas. Why then does the Mishnah say that we have to assess the Knas at 50 shekel, since he's liable to be executed because he's violating an Erev Sheshba Kares, therefore we should exempt him from paying the Knas? And if our Mishnah does in fact assess a fine and impose a fine of a Knas of 50 shekel on the brother, then it must mean that he's not Chayiv Misa, so we cannot be putting him to death as a Rodev. Now again, let's just talk about the rape of a Nara who is not Mu'urasa, she's a Pnuya, and we're talking about the fact that the Boel, the Ma'anes, has to pay 50 shekel knas to the father of the Nara. Not only that, he's obligated to marry the Nara, and the Mishnah says that if the marriage cannot be consumed because the Boel here is an Erva, then nevertheless he still pays the fine. In other words, the knas is not totally on the fact that he's able to marry her and she's re'uya li nase. Even if she's asura love and he cannot marry her, he still has to pay the knas. The knas is independent. And secondly, the Mishnah is telling us that even though he's chayev kares, and at the same moment he is chayev a knas, then we Lechora should have applied the principle of Kimle Ramine, but nevertheless, we don't apply it because since he's only Chayv Kares, we don't, and not Misa, we don't apply Kimle Ramine. But again, this is all assuming that the Rodev, in this case, Ach Alachoso, is not to be put to death, and that contravenes our Brisa of Chet Elu Chayv Krisus. This question came in front of Rav Chisda, and he said the following: Mishas hara depogma is iftale miktola mamonulam shalom ad gmar bia. The reason why we cannot apply the principle of kimle b'ramine is because we need absolute simultaneity. At the moment that he incurs a chiyuv misa or a chiyuv kares, at that very moment he is chayv mamon. But here, we could separate the two. There's a delay factor, a time factor. Because the Chiv Misa only applies up until the time of Shas Hara. After Shas Hara, the beginning of Bia, when the Aver just contacts Harev, makes contact with Harev, at that point, once that's been implemented, there's no longer a Din of a Rodef. Whereas the Chiv to pay Domim, in this case Knas, is dependent upon Gmar Bia. When the absolute penetration happens, we're talking about a Nara Basula, when he breaks the Basulin, and that's based on the Pasuk in Dvarim Perikov Beis, where it says that a man found a virgin girl who was not betrothed, and because she is a Basula, and he violates a Basula, that's why he has to pay the Knas. He breaks a Basulin. That's only going to happen at the moment of Gmar Bia. So he hasn't incurred the Chiyuv Knas until Gmar Bia, even though he's already been pogam her with Hara. Oh, this Gemara of Rav Chisda is premised on the assumption that Hara is Neshika. Again, as soon as there's contact between his Aver and her Aver, and obviously at that point there is no Gmar Bia, and there is no breaking of the Basulin, and therefore ipso facto there's no Chiv Knas, whereas as far as Pagima is concerned, the Pekam depends on what is legally, halachically called a Maisa Bia, between an Ach and an Achos, a Chiv Kares, and Hara, even though it's the early stage of Bia, is necessarily legally valid as a Maisa Bia. And therefore at this point, the punishment of Kares and the Pagam has already been clinched. It's already reached its fruition, and that's premature here in this case because there's no Chiv Knas. The Gemara says, "Hanichal amandi omar ha'ra zunashik." You found a solution and a justification for the Chiv Knas if you hold that ha'ra is identical with Nishika. Elamandi omar ha'ra zuach nosas atara. It's not just the contact of the two Avarim, but you need some sort of level of penetration, albeit the beginning of penetration means that the top or tip of his member has already penetrated into her Aver, into Oso Mokom. And that's it's called insertion of the crown of the male member. At this point, the attacker, the Boel, actually is Shover HaBasulin, and then he's subject to the fine. And if again we go back to square one, why don't we apply Kimle the Rabine? Because that's the moment that he incurs a Chiv Misa, we can put him to death as a Rodev. So therefore the Gemara wants to reconcile this mission in a different way, so that it could square with the Man Yomar who says that we identify Ha'ara Ha'ara as Achnosat Torah LaOmar Rav Chisda. Kigon, what's the case in the Mishnah in Ksubas? We have to apply the Ukimta of Ba'aleh Shalo Kedarka, that he had an unnatural relation with her, an anal intercourse with her. In such a case, he does not incur a Chiyuv Misa beyond. Just one second, let's go through the case again. It's Ba'aleh Shalo Kedarka, I'm sorry. And then, I forgot to read the next few words, V'chazar U'Ba'aleh Kedarka, and then he had a second beer with her of Kedarka. Now, she's already considered a Paguma with the beer Shalo Kedarka, the first beer. He doesn't incur a Chiv Knas through a beer Shalo Kedarka because she still technically has her Besulin. So, in the case of a man who has a relationship with his, he rapes his own sister, or for that matter, any other Chiv Kares, if he forced her initially to engage in this Bia Shalo Kedarka situation, then he is already Chayav Misa, and not only that, there's already a Pagam, because the Torah recognizes Mishkavos Harbe. However, as far as the as a chiyuv knas is concerned, there is no shvir sabsulin, and in the second bia there would be shvir sabsulin, but at that point he cannot be killed because she's already been violated, and it's a second attack. So again, with the initial intercourse, which was unnatural, he is legally guilty of bia with a chiyuv kares, and she becomes violated with a full fledged pagam by virtue of this chiyuv misa or chiyuv kares, I should say, through that act, and she's debased, and the pagam is there. However, a subsequent attack, since it doesn't engender a pagam like the first attack, would therefore not generate the halacha of rodef to kill the rodef. But at the same time, the second attack would generate a knas, since the first attack was shalo kedarka, and she's still a besua during the second attack. And it's interesting that Rav Chisda chose this particular case. L'chora, he could have chosen the case where the brother violated the woman unnaturally during the second attack as well, because there would be a knas for the second attack. For that, you have to know a sugya and ksubastaf mem. Rav Amar, Rav has another way to explain the Mishnah in Masechta Ksubas. Ben Michaso Shalo Yargena Rabbi Yehuda hi. The Mishnah there is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about a case where the nirdefes, in this case the achos, allows her brother, she tells the rescuers to stave off and not get involved. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, since she's not willing to say the death is even worse than the violation, you know, she wants to save her life, in such a case, we don't kill the rodef, and therefore he has to pay the knas. There's no kimlei bidarabine. Now we turn to daf ayin dalid omer aleph. Rav Papa Omar, he has another answer to explain that Mishnah b'mefuta, where the sister was seduced. V'divrei ha'kol, we don't have to introduce the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, even the rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. If she consents to cohabit with a man, we cannot kill the rodef, and therefore the rodef has to pay 50 shekel. Now, a man who seduces a nara has to pay a fine of 50 shekel. That's what we have to keep in mind here in understanding this Mishnah. And again, the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon in the case where the rescuer, the matzil, is willing to save the erva from her rape situation. She refuses it out of a fear of her life. When Rabbi Yehuda says that we cannot kill the rodef, the Chacham say we do kill the rodef. However, if the erva, the nirdefes, actually agrees to this relationship, and that's the true in the case where she's seduced, that's called a mafuta, everybody agrees that we don't kill the rodef, even though it's a case of an ach, and it's a chiyuv kares. Abai gives one other reconciliation and reinterpretation of the Mishnah, and the apparently Abai is inhibited to introduce here the case of mafuta, and therefore he says biyochel lahatzil biechad meivarv. The Mishnah is referring to a case where we can save the nedefes, even in a case of rape, without having to kill the rodef. The metzias is such that if we shoot for the legs or something like that, that will gain our goal, that will achieve our goal of preventing and saving the nedefes, and in such a case there's no possibility of misa, of imposing a death penalty on the rodef. Rav Yonasan ben Shol, he, and the Mishnah reflects the shita of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol. The sanya Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol Omer Rodef Shei Rodef Acher Chaver Lahargo V'Yochel Atzil Bech Mevavlo Itzilo is Neragolov. So in this case in the Mishnah, that the matzil could have thwarted the attack by simply injuring the rodef, therefore the rodef is not subject to execution in no way, no how. It's yochel atzilo bechem mevarav, and therefore he has to pay the knas for violating his sister. The Gemara now is going to analyze the source for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul's principle, and that is going to take us into the parsha in Mishpatim of what we call Ki Natsu Anoshim, when two men fight and they hit the pregnant woman, and whether or not she is able to survive that attack, and whether she loses the vlad, that parsha. But before we get to that, I just wanted to point out one or two things. As we said before, Abaye is trying to avoid interpreting the Mishnah in terms of one particular Shita of Yehuda. He's trying to avoid interpreting the Mishnah as a case of seduction rather than a case of rape. Now, if the Nirdefes herself or someone else, an Acher, could have prevented her violation, her rape, by injuring the Rodef without killing him, then in such a case, that's what has to happen. You cannot kill the Rodef. Now, if the Nirdof or anyone else actually killed the Rodef, that's going to be an interesting question. Is there a Chiv Mises Bezdin in such a case? So the rescuer might be executed by the courts for killing the pursuer. I mean, this has a lot to do with the parsha of Pinchas and Zimri. Zimri could have lechora turned around and killed Pinchas in self-defense, even though the halacha of Kanoim Pogimbo applies. That's an interesting discussion in and of itself. So let's just summarize the various solutions or interpretations to the Mishnah Ksubis. There are five possible interpretations. One is to differentiate between Hara, which is the beginning of intercourse, and Gemar Bia, and that's the Shita of the Chachamim. Rav Chisda has a Shita that the Mishnah is discussing a case where there was a Bia Shalo Kedarka on the first round, and the pursuer cannot be killed during the second attack, and therefore he has to pay the knas during the second attack when he breaks the basulin. Rava says the Mishnah discusses a case where the Nirdefa says to the rescuer, stave off, and it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, we cannot kill the Rodef in such case. Rabbi Papa says the Mishnah is talking about a Mefuta, and Abai says that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Yochel Atzilo B'Echad Meivarov. Now, as far as the source for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, of Yochel Atzilo Mechem Eivor, my time to Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, and he analyzes the Pasuk of Chi Yinotzu Anoshim Yachtov, so men are fighting, and one of them jolts a pregnant woman, she miscarries, V'yomer Rabbi Lazar, B'matzvos She'B'mitzvah HaKosuv Midaber. Matzus means fighting, and bimisa, which means that the two adversaries that were in this broil, in this wrestling match or boxing match, were out to kill each other. And instead, they hit this pregnant woman, b'shogeg, unintentionally. D'chsiv v'yemason yiyev v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Which means if the woman dies as a result of this blow, then we will put the fellow who killed her to death. He becomes a full-fledged rotzeach. And we couldn't possibly execute a person who had no intention of killing. It must be that he tried to kill his adversary, the other man that he was fighting with, but inadvertently he killed her, and he has the status of a rodef. Afilu hochi amarachmona veloye oson oson onoshionish, that he will have to pay to the father of these vlados a compensation, a monetary payment, because she didn't die, in event that she didn't die, and there is no execution to the murderer, because there is no murder, and yet he is a rodef. So, Iamrit, if we understand Bishlema, Yocholat Silo Me'echon Me'varov, why is it that he has to pay, Onoshiyarish, he has to pay this monetary compensation for the Vlodos, because it was a case where he's not Chayev Misa. We couldn't put him to death, even though he's a rodef, because we could have prevented him from killing the Nirdof by disabling him, by shooting for his legs. Lo Nitan Latzil B'Nafsho is there from a melee. We understand Hanim Shkachas LeYonish Yonish, that he has to pay money because there's no Kimle Rabine. And the Mishnah and the Torah itself is addressing a scenario of Kigon Sheyochel Atzilo Biechod Me'ivarov. El Iyamit Yochel Atzilo Bech Me'ivarov Nami Nitan Latzilo B'Nafsho, which sounds like in our famous Chakira, it's not that Tzolos HaNirdof that generates the din of Rodef, of Harigas HaRodef, but rather the Chiyuv of the Rodef. And there's a Chiyuv of the Rodef, whether or not you can shoot for his legs and prevent the Nirdaf from being killed, or you cannot. In both cases, the same identical Chiyuv HaRodef applies. Is Hechem Mishtachas Le D.A. Onesh. If you reject Rav Yonasan, and you can kill the rodef, even if it's Yochel Atzil Mevarov, why would the Torah impose any sort of monetary punishment here? He certainly should be potter under the din of Kim Leib the Ramine. And that's the whole chach of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol, that the rodef is not chayev misa, we cannot put him to death, if we could have just injured him, and that would have accomplished the same goal of Hatzolas HaNirdof. The Gemara rejects this proof. Dilma Shani Hocha, Demisa Lezevet, Hashlum Mezev. Maybe the entire principle and law of Kimle Ben Ramine is inapplicable in this case, because it's Misa Lezev, Hashlum Lezev. Meaning the one who demands compensation is the woman who lost her Vlad, and particularly her husband, of course, whereas the Chiv Misa is not because of the woman. He was rodef for another man. So the Misa here is Lazeh, and the Tashlumin is Lazeh. And that's a sugya Masechta Krisus in the third Perakai Linaris about the extent and the scope of Kimlei Midravine. Now the Gemara is assuming that Shita, that view that maintains that you don't apply Kimlei Midravine when it's Misa Lazeh, Vitashlumin Lazeh. So for example, if somebody violates the Shabbos by shooting an arrow from Rishus HaYoch, Rishus HaRab, and he rips the Shirayim of another person, there would not be an application of the rule of Kimlei Ramine, because that other person who's demanding compensation has nothing to do with the Chiyuv Shabbos, the Chiyuv Misa of Melech HaShabbos. Here too, the compensation is being demanded for the Vlados, the Bei Vlados on the part of the woman, that has nothing to do with the Chiyuv to execute the Rodef, because he's pursuing his adversary, and therefore it's Misa Lezev, Tashlum Lezev. The Gemara says, Lo Shna. The Gemara now wants to protect the position that even in a case of Misa Lezev and Tashlum Lezev, we still apply the principle of Kimlei B'Derabimine, and that would again bring back the support for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol's and his deduction. The Omar Rava says, Rodef Shaya Rodef Achar Chavero. If a person was running and pursuing to kill his friend, the Shibra Sakalim, Bain Shal Nirdof, Bain Shal Kolon, doesn't matter who owns the Kalim, even if Yenim, if somebody else owns the Kalim, Potur, my Taima, Mischai B'Nafshahu, and even though it's Misa Lezeh, V'tashlumin Li'acher, nevertheless we still, according to Rav, apply Kimlev Neramine, and that gives us the proof for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol. The Gemara has a different version of Rav's statement about Shviras Kalim during a Radifah. V'nirdof Sheshivas Kalim Shal Rodev, Potter Shal Kol Adam Chayav. Most I will stop here, and we'll pick this up in the next year, Mitzvah.